If you go with me to the book of Jonah, chapter 2. Jonah, chapter 2. We're going to be back in the Mediterranean Ocean today, so. Jonah, chapter 2. Jonah, chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we'll read the whole chapter. It says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. And the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for bringing us each out to church this morning. Lord, I thank you for giving us the opportunity to go into your word once more. Lord, please teach us from your word. Help us to learn from you. Help us to come with willing hearts, with ready minds. Lord, just to receive whatever you have for us. I pray that you would guide our words, guide our thoughts, and help this whole day to be dedicated to you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we started our study in Jonah and we looked at five choices in Mission Impossible. Now, I alluded to this last week, but Mission Impossible, you've probably heard of it. It's a television series that was back in the 60s and 70s. There's this group of specially trained agents who would go in to these really impossible situations, whether it was to take out someone behind the Iron Curtain or a dictator, someone in these high up positions. They always had a time crunch and it seemed like the very last minute before they got it done. Well, Jonah here, he's given Mission Impossible. And it is impossible apart from God. And that's the way he's looking at it. He looks at this huge city and then he looks at himself and he says, there's no way I could do this. And so he runs from God's will. He runs away from the plan God had for him. And our missions are going to be impossible without God if we're looking at ourselves. And so Jonah here, he has a lot of lessons to learn, and he's starting to learn some lessons. He's swallowed by a fish, and that in and of itself was an interesting experience. And it's interesting, so many people like to doubt that Jonah was actually swallowed by a whale, by a great fish, whatever it was. And they come up with all these theories. And I was listening to actually some sermons on this and just some research into this. And it's fascinating how far people will go to deny that Jonah was swallowed by a fish and that he lived inside it for 3 days. One of them said that Jonah was cast out into the ocean. Then the sea was calm. He swam to shore and stayed at an inn called the Fish. Like, my question after that is, how did the inn vomit him out? I mean, how does that happen? Another one said that he was thrown out of the ship, and then another ship picked him up, called the Fish. Just these crazy theories. We know the Word of God doesn't even try to defend this story. It just gives it as fact. And it's true that Jonah was thrown overboard, and he was swallowed by a fish and stayed in it for 3 days and three nights. Another argument people like to make is that the fish just couldn't have been big enough. Well, there's sperm whales that live in this Mediterranean ocean, and their throats are big enough not just to swallow a human, they can swallow a Mack truck and trailer. That's how big their throats are. And their stomachs are easily big enough for Jonah to fit inside. And so it's absolutely true. Jonah's taken into this fish, and he's there for 3 days. And this was partially judgment. It was a little bit. I mean, the Lord could have rescued him some other way. But it got him thinking. And it got him thinking about the goodness of God. The Lord sent him not a wonderful rescue, but it was a spectacular rescue. It was amazing. And God was going to start preparing Jonah. Because God had already prepared the way. He already made the way clear. He told Jonah. And when God gives the commands, he enables. So God had already prepared the way, but Jonah needed to be prepared within himself. And at this point, he wasn't prepared. He wasn't. He was running his own way. And so this morning, we're going to look at preparing for Mission Impossible. God had prepared the way. Now Jonah, he had to prepare himself. And so Jonah, he's here stuck in the whale's belly. He's stuck there just with a lot on his mind, no doubt. He's stuck there in a seeming impossible situation. Thinks, maybe I'll never get out of this situation alive. And he probably never felt as helpless in his whole life as he had right now. I mean, up to this point, he looks like he thinks he can control his own life. God gives him a direct command, and he says, no, God, I'm not listening to that. I'll go my own way. Jonah thinks he can control his own life. And for a prophet of God, that's really ironic, because their whole lives were supposed to be dedicated to giving God's message. But yet Jonah, he's one of the few prophets that almost this entire book paints him in kind of a negative light. Most of the prophets are almost exclusively pictured in a good light. But here Jonah, in this entire book, he's really running from God. He doesn't feel any compassion for the people of Nineveh later. He's just a rebellious prophet. But Jonah here, he's helpless. He can't do anything. And Jonah had the foot on the gas, but God just reached over and slammed his brakes and said, you're not going anywhere unless I let you go somewhere. And so Jonah's left here to think for 3 days. And there were some very positive things that went on during those thinking. And it's interesting, in verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, let me turn back over to it to tell you the right, not Micah 2. It says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. This is the only time we've seen so far Jonah praying to God, or really in communication with God at all. Now, God had given him this command, but since that command, Jonah hasn't prayed. I mean, the sailors, the captain told him to pray to his God. He couldn't even pray then. I mean, he's running from God. And so the Lord, now he's trying to reach out to the Lord. He wants to get back in contact with the Lord because he's been away from him, what, 2 days, 3 days, a week, 2 weeks? He's been away from God for a very long time. And 1 day, 1 hour is too long to be away from God. But I wonder, how long have you been away from God? How long has it been since you last talked to God? Since you last talked with him? Since you last gave him a prayer? You know, any time is too long to be out of communication with God. And Jonah had been out of communication with God for at least days. And that's why he's in this situation. But yet he realizes that the way to get out of this, the way that's only going to make a difference, is if he prays to God, and he has to repent. And so we see here in verses 2 through 4, the repentance. No situation is completely helpless or hopeless for the children of God. And Jonah knew what he had to do. And the Lord had been so merciful in judgment, even in judgment. The Bible says in Romans 2, chapter 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Now that's talking about salvation, but it certainly applies here. And the goodness and forbearance, God's long-suffering, had led Jonah to repentance. God's goodness should lead us to repentance as well. I don't know what brought him to this point. Certainly it was the goodness of God. Certainly it was these other circumstances. I mean, there's a lot of things you can fit into the word affliction in verse 2. The storm, the fish, being in the fish's belly. I mean, there's a lot of things you can fit in there. But I think most of all, it was just the Lord's goodness. And Jonah began to realize that it's because of the Lord's mercy that I'm not consumed, that I'm even still alive. That he's even prepared a fish to swallow me just to keep me alive. He probably didn't reach that conclusion immediately, but he begins to realize that as he's taking his focus off of himself. And so Jonah begins to repent, and he thanks God. He rehearses how he faced a certain death when he was thrown overboard. It says, "For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me." Then verse 2, "out of the belly of hell." All these descriptive words, he paints really a terrifying picture. He's been cast out of God's presence. He's in the belly of hell. The Hebrew word there for hell is Sheol, which means the grave or death. Really, literally the deepest of depths. It's like he's been buried alive in the ocean. That's how he feels. Buried away from everything, completely out of sight. But yet he still knows that he can pray to God. Even in this whale's belly, he knows that the Lord will still hear him. The Lord will still accept his prayer of repentance. And so even though there's this terrifying situation, Jonah can still pray to God. And there's two parallel phrases in verse 2. It says, "I cried by reason of mine affliction, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." He repeats it. It's emphasized. Jonah's emphasizing that I repented. I cried out to God, and he heard me. It's emphasizing both of those things. And when you cry out to God, he will hear you. No matter where you are, no matter your condition, no matter if you're lost or saved, if it's a prayer of salvation, God will hear you. If you're his child and it's a prayer of repentance, any prayer at all, the Lord will hear you. You can be on the highest mountain or in the deepest sea, and the Lord will hear you. Jonah, he was at the bottom of the mountains. He was in the depths of the sea, yet God was still listening to them, to him, and he knew that. And he had confidence to pray to God. But most of all, this is more than just a prayer of repentance. It's starting in verse 4, it's more of a prayer of thanksgiving. That's where we see, secondly, this morning is the rejoicing. He's offering up a prayer of thanksgiving while he's still in the belly of the whale. He's already praising God before he's even delivered. It's a prayer to God of thanks and hope. He's not mourning, he's not crying anymore. In verse 4, it says just plainly, "I said." He's not crying aloud. He's not in mourning. He's not afraid anymore. He's come to a point of peace because he's repented. He's made things right with God. And now he knows that the Lord, he's going to give me a second chance. I think he knew that even before the Lord gave him a second chance. Because God was merciful to Jonah, but he also knew that God was going to be merciful to Nineveh. And he knew giving Jonah a second chance would be giving Nineveh a second chance. And so Jonah has hope, and he's praising God even in the middle of this. And he says that I will once again pray to your holy temple. Now he's echoing what Solomon said. If you remember back in 1 Kings, Solomon dedicates the temple to the Lord. He dedicates the temple to be a place of worship to the Lord. He says, when anyone turns and prays toward your temple, hear them and deliver them. We saw just a few weeks ago in Daniel how Daniel opened his window and prayed toward Jerusalem, toward the temple. Well, that's a prayer that Jonah's echoing. And he's echoing, he's saying, Lord, you made this, Solomon asked for this. Now please grant me deliverance. I'm crying out for it. And the Lord, he was going to give him that deliverance. And Jonah said, even though I'm still in the belly of this fish, I believe that one day I'll stand on dry ground and be able to pray towards your holy temple. Say, why do you think that? Well, in this fish, Jonah can't pray towards the temple in reality. He doesn't know which direction is north, south, east, or west. He probably doesn't even know what's up or down. He's completely confused, but he knows one thing. God's faithful. He's going to bring me out of this. And when I come out of this, I'm going to stand and worship. But even right now, in the belly of this whale or this fish, I'm going to worship God, and I'm still going to trust him. And so Daniel, he's rejoicing. I mean, Jonah, he's rejoicing, he's worshiping, even in the belly of this fish. And that's, I mean, that is incredible considering his situation. He got himself into this situation, but his conditions are not ideal. I mean, this is an interesting situation. In verses 5 through 7, he describes that. In verse 6, it says, "The earth with her bars was about me forever." It feels like he's been in this situation. At this point, 3 days, but it feels like it's been forever. I mean, he's been in this situation so long, it's like it's become the new normal. And that's very terrifying. It says in verse 7, when my soul fainted within me. He's completely cast down, completely discouraged. But when everything's looking down, he remembers to look up. He remembers to look to the Lord. And I looked up the inside temperature of a whale's belly, just because, I mean, why not? It's interesting to find that out. And so the temperature in there fluctuates anywhere from 100 to 110 degrees, on average about 105 degrees. I mean, so Jonah's in a whirling hot tub. I mean, this is not comfortable at all. And he's not the only thing whirling in it. I mean, there's seaweed wrapping around him, all these other creatures and fish that this fish has swallowed. I mean, this is not a pleasant place at all. This is not a pleasant place for a worship service. But Jonah, he's praising God. He's saying, Lord, I'm in this situation right now, but I know you're going to bring me out. It says in verse 7, I remembered the Lord. Jonah, this prophet that just a few verses before, just the last chapter, was trying to put every thought of God out of his mind. Well, now he's remembering the Lord. He's clinging to every memory he had. Perhaps when he was commissioned as a prophet, all the things the Lord had brought him through as a prophet, the messages God had given him. He's thinking of all these things. He's remembering the Lord. And the phrase here doesn't necessarily mean that he forgot the Lord, but it means now that he's letting what he knows about the Lord to change his actions. He's remembering the Lord, and it's changing how he behaves. He had forgotten the Lord. At least he had lived like he'd forgotten the Lord. But now he's remembering, even in spite of this impossible situation. I mean, from a whale's belly, it doesn't get much more impossible than that. I mean, you don't get much more hopeless than being in a whale's belly. But Jonah, he's still crying out to God. He's repented. He's rejoicing. And he has faith that God will bring him out. And God, he reflected on the God who knew his children and God, the God who looked for an opportunity to deliver them. And then he reflects on the other gods. He says in verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Those who observe these lying vanities. No doubt he had seen those gods that the sailors had tried to cry out to during the storm. They couldn't do a thing. The storm raged just as strong and even more powerful. All these lying vanities, all these false things that even Jonah had sought after. He had sought trying to please himself by going his own way. He didn't want to please God. So that's all vanity. It's those who observe vanities forsake their own mercy. That phrase, forsake their own mercy, that word mercy translates as loyal love, God's loyal love. And he's saying that those who run away from God, who forsake God, literally run away from God's own loyal love. And they're turning away from the most true love they could ever experience. And what a foolish choice Jonah had made. But yet now he's realizing just how foolish he was. And he's saying, Lord, I remember you. I want to be back with you. I remember that loyal love that I had. I want to experience that again. Jonah's remembering the Lord. He's rejoicing. And prior to this time, everything Jonah had experienced had been down. I mean, he had heard the voice of the Lord, the message. Then he went down to Joppa, down into the ship, down to sleep. He went down into the ocean, into the whale's belly, down to the very depths of the sea. And one preacher observed that the only way away from God's will is down. That's the only way. But yet at the same time, the only way in God's direction is up. And every single circumstance around Jonah is looking down right now. But yet he's looking up. And you can do the very same thing. Even when all the cards seem stacked against you, you can still look up. And you can still trust the Lord because he's just as faithful as he's ever been. And he was just as faithful to Jonah right here as he had been before and as he would be after. The Lord was still the faithful God. And now that Jonah, he's gotten his eyes back on the Lord, he's able to see everything more clearly. He's still in the pitch black, but his spiritual perception is coming back. And he's able to see things more clearly. He's able to see the Lord more clearly. All these vain pursuits, these lying vanities, they're not going to bring me anything. They won't bring anybody anything. But a trust in the Lord, that's what can bring deliverance. And Jonah's saying, if I'm going to be saved, if I'm going to be delivered, I have to trust in the Lord. And there's no one else I would want to turn to other than the Lord. And so Jonah, he's remembering. He's remembering God's goodness. He's remembering that he's a faithful, saving God. And it's interesting that, well, Jonah was human. Right now he's repented. He seems like he's on board. He's made a vow. He's going to follow the Lord. But he was human, and he would turn from it. But yet right here, he's following the Lord with all his heart. Even in the fish's belly, he had a walk with God, and he's following the Lord. And it's interesting, he's become his own perfect sermon illustration. I mean, he's got to go now to Nineveh to preach mercy, and he's just experienced the most incredible mercy. He's just experienced incredible salvation. You know, when we've experienced God's mercy, even through a hard time, it's all the easier to be able to show that to someone else, or at least it should be. When God shows mercy to us, we should go and show that very same mercy to other people, because other people go through things just like us. And Jonah, he should have, at least, preached this message of mercy. It's the same way with salvation. Once we've received the salvation of Jesus Christ, accepted him into our heart, then we should be willing and we should want to share it with other people. But if we've not received it, we can't share it. So we've got to accept that salvation. But Jonah, you notice he wasn't delivered after he repented, not immediately. In fact, he wasn't delivered until after he rejoiced. He had repented, but God left him in the whale. And then Jonah starts rejoicing, and then God gives a command. And thirdly, this morning we see the resurfacing. Jonah comes back on the scene. He's been under the water, quite literally, for a long time now. But now the Lord gives the command to this fish to vomit Jonah up on dry land. He says, Jonah, I've heard your prayer. I've heard your repentance. I've heard your rejoicing. I've seen that you remembered me. And now here's your chance. Here's your second chance. Now go preach to Nineveh. The Lord was so gracious to Jonah. And because Jonah repented, but because Jonah praised, the Lord gave him a second chance. We don't know where he was spat up on dry ground, but we know that the Lord directed it to the perfect spot. Perhaps it was already on the route to Nineveh. Maybe it was back at Joppa. Who knows? Maybe he said, here's Joppa again. Now choose the right ship. We don't know. But the Lord had given Jonah that first step. And so now he's back to square one of Mission Impossible. But it wasn't impossible because God was with Jonah this time. The only impossible mission in this was Jonah running away from God, because he could never escape, he could never hide. The only possible mission was being in God's will, was following God. And so now Jonah is going in God's will, with God's power and God's strength, to Nineveh to preach to this city that's about to experience destruction. And so Jonah, he's free from his traveling companion. He's probably glad about that. Now he can go on his own to Nineveh. And so Jonah, he's on his way, and no doubt it wasn't an easy journey. I mean, this was a long journey, but I'm sure it felt shorter in this journey in God's will than a journey on a smooth ship sleeping out of God's will. And so Jonah, he's back on track. And Jonah, he's prepared himself now. God had prepared the mission for him, but now Jonah's prepared in his heart. He's prepared himself. Prepared himself to seek the Lord. And he couldn't preach this message to these people unless he'd first prepared his heart. And now his heart, he's repentant, he's open toward the Lord, and he's ready to go preach this message. But I wonder, what has God prepared for you? And are you prepared for it? What is God calling you to do that you're running from? That it's not what you want. Jonah, if he had had this back, would have never tried to run from God in the first place. And if we see the end, if we could see the end of the story, we would never want anything outside of God's will. We wouldn't. But yet, so many times we try to do like Jonah and run. Jonah had to be brought to the place where the only choice he had was to submit to God, The only choice he had was to obey and follow. Now, I hope we don't have to be brought to that choice, because God loves willing servants. He wants us to follow without pressure. But yet Jonah, he had to be brought to this point where the only option he had was to repent and follow God. But maybe God has you in a great fish. Maybe you're not being judged for some sin, but there's just some trial, something you're going through that you can't get through. You can't get through on your own. Well, it's time to let go. It's time to examine your heart. But yet, if God has you in this, it's His will. And there's no need to fear the storm because God has you in it. And there's no need to fear God's will because it's for your best. The Lord would never put you in something that's to harm you. The Lord never would do that. And Jonah, he says, Lord, I don't know which way is up. I don't know which way is down, but I know where you are. You're here with me now. He says, whether I get back to the shore or not, I repent. God, forgive me. Show me your will again. And that's all it takes, just to stop fighting, stop thrashing around, stop trying to fight all the waves around you, and just trust the one who walked on the waves and the one who can help you walk on the waves. The Lord did the thing for Jonah. He did it for Peter later. He can help you walk on the waves of your storm. You don't have to live under them. The only reason Jonah was under these waves was because he was out of God's will. The Lord could have helped him walk on these waves, but yet he ran away from God's will. So don't live under the storm. Live above the storm, because you can be going through the storm and still live above it with the Lord. But it doesn't matter if you're at complete peace. You will be under the storm if you're apart from God. And even if you think everything's going great, if you're living apart from God, there's a storm, and you're living in a storm because you're under God's judgment. And you can't walk through this storm on your own. The Lord wants to be with you. The mission is only impossible when you fail to trust your God. So trust Him. Take your eyes off the storm, just look at the Savior, and say, Lord, whatever you have for me, no matter what it is, no matter what I have to go through, I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to trust you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this example of Jonah. Lord, thank you that he had the humility, Lord, to repent. It wasn't easy. Lord, it's never easy to admit we've been wrong about something. But Lord, he admitted to you and you got him immediately back on the right track. Lord, help us to praise through the storm. Lord, you may not bring us out until we start praising you in it. I pray that you would help us to be thankful, whether we're in a calm sea or a rough sea. Lord, just help us to trust you, because you're always looking out for our best. Lord, I pray that you would bless in the service to follow. Lord, work in our hearts. Help us to be attentive. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.